Hello, and welcome to the fourth installment of Talking Across Activisms here on WHUS Doors, where we talk all things activism here in Connecticut and beyond. I'm your host, Gabriella Ramos King. On today's episode, we talk with students from UConn's Latin American and Latinx Studies Department about the efforts towards implementing a Latinx Studies curriculum into Connecticut's public high schools. In December of 2020, Connecticut officially became the first state in the United States to require high schools to offer courses on Black and Latinx studies. Earlier in 2020, the State Education Resource Committee, also known as CERC, began working on the curriculum for the new course on African American and Latinx history. In the spring of 2020, us Latin American and Latinx Studies majors at UConn who were enrolled in our program's community engagement course were tasked with the opportunity to make our own contributions to the course's development. We drew on our own expertise as students pursuing BAs in the field, our personal experiences as Latinx students within Connecticut, and a wide variety of engagement with the Connecticut community through meetings with students and educators across the state. We created our own version of a Latinx study syllabus for high schoolers, and we submitted it to the State Education Resource Committee to be considered in the final decisions about the curriculum. Through our hard work and collaboration throughout the spring semester of 2020, we developed a syllabus that centered around social justice, Latinx contributions to Connecticut, and the centuries-long presence of Latinos in the United States. We also highlighted the diversity within the Latinx population, the solidarity between African American and Latinx movements throughout history, and the power of youth activism. Unfortunately, many of our contributions were not included in the curriculum thus far. However, the fight for representation and justice for Black and Brown students in the educational system continues. In this episode, my classmates Lizette Perez, Yariel Rodriguez, and Maria Mejia Giron will be discussing the importance of Latinx curriculums in schools and the ongoing challenges that remain. Be sure to check out Talking Across Activism's accompanying blog, where we post articles about topics similar to our discussions here on the podcast. Before we jump in, I want to remind our listeners that the views presented in this program may not reflect the views of the University of Connecticut, WHUS Radio, or the staff of the station. We are here with three students from the UConn Latino Studies program. Can everyone go ahead and introduce themselves?
Hi, I'm Lizette Perez, she, her, hers. I'm a sophomore at UConn and a Latino Studies major.
Hello. My name is Maria Mejia. I am a junior at UConn Stores, and I'm a double major in Latin American Studies and Political Science. And pronouns are she, her, hers.
Hello, my name is Jadir Rodriguez. People call me Yadi. I'm a UConn graduate, graduated with Latino Studies. My pronouns are him, his, and his.
Great. And I'm Gabriella, the host of the podcast, but some people might not know that I'm also a Latino Studies student. I'm about to graduate, so I'm a senior. And all of us had the opportunity to take a class called Latinos in Connecticut, Writing for the Community, back in the spring of 2020. And each semester, that class takes on a different community engagement project. And our engagement project was to develop a type of syllabus to contribute to the new high school mandated Latinx studies, as well as African-American studies syllabus. If all of you kind of want to jump in and talk about some of the things that we did in that class and some of those things that you individually did to contribute as well.
I could quickly start out. I was a TA for the class, and the class was focused on, you know, building curriculum and coming up with, you know, content that we could give to CERC. CERC was the organization that was creating the syllabus for a Latino and African-American curriculum to be taught at high school level. So our class was, you know, tasked with coming up with content and coming up with what we felt should be in the curriculum. And then as the TA, I would, you know, relay this information to the CERC committee. And like biweekly, I had like, you know, meetings with the committee to, like, you know, tell them stuff to put in the curriculum. I used to bring like books. I used to write my, you know, bring my notes that, you know, I would take in class from the discussion and stuff like that, you know, and then relay, but that information, all the information I got from CERC, bring it back with me to the class and then we'll discuss open out loud about it.
As far as for me, I was a student in the class, and I had done a lot of work with Hearing Youth Voices back at home in New London. And that's the same group that testified for the bill at the state capitol, which I wasn't part of the testifying because I joined after they had testified. But I was part of a lot of meetings where they were discussing sort of like what they have gathered that students want to see in the curriculum, and also what they were hoping to see, and just basically like their basic plans to see where they wanted to move or how they wanted to help this bill come into reality. So coming into the class, it was really nice because I also had like another connection that we could use later on as the semester went by.
I was a student in the class like Lizzie, and basically, yeah, we were just working. We spent a lot of time just trying to decide what should be included, what could we maybe skip on, which was very difficult because we didn't want to skip on any parts of our history. But at the same time, we knew we had a certain time span, so we wanted to include really powerful things in there. And I would say probably the most helpful thing I did for the class was go back to my old high school and like interview some of the students to see what they would like to see in the curriculum, because at the end of the day, we want to keep them interested.
That's such a good thing. I actually almost forgot about how many discussions we had in class about, okay, what do we keep in and what do we leave out? I feel like a lot of people don't know that much about Latinx history, Latinx culture, and they're like, oh, well, there's not much. And that's not true. There's so, so much. And yeah, that definitely was a challenge that I remember for our class, trying to figure out what will high school students benefit from and what is something that maybe they get later, because, you know, we're college students, we're taking 5 classes at a time sometimes learning about this stuff. So why is it important that high school students have the opportunity to study Latinx history in their public school curriculum?
I would say, and this is my personal experience, I think I went to a school system that I didn't see any representation, neither in the teacher staff or just in the student population at all. And I think because of that, it was just a very different, it's very hard to find a sense of belonging in a place where you're looking around and you don't see a lot of people that can relate to you. And it wasn't until college that like I became a Latino studies major that I started taking classes with Latinos and non-Latinos alike, but learning about history that pertained to my family and my heritage, and it was in a positive light, or even things that were difficult, because history is both, it's truth, you know, it's not bad or good, it's things that happened in the past. And I think just seeing it from that lens without it having to be directly connected to the US at all times was really refreshing. And I think that can even be inspiring when you are younger to know that like, oh, there's this like person who became a doctor or an engineer or something, and like they weren't what you typically see, like it was a Latino, like probably from my barrio, like somewhere like you wouldn't even like, it just motivates people more to know that there's a community out there that are willing and starting to get motivated to do the same work that you're looking to do. And I think that's why it's so important.
I also feel like representation was one of the biggest things that why that class is so important, just being able to see yourself. But another aspect too is just like, I personally feel like a lot of discrimination and racism comes from ignorance. So when you don't know about certain people, and this is not justifying it, but when you don't know about different types of people, different types of nationalities, ethnicities, religions, you just become so close-minded. So I feel like it's in the best intention to have high schoolers, even middle schoolers, like as young as we can go, just having like students learn about these things, because then you're exposed to them so much sooner in your life, and then you're much more inclusive as well.
I think it's very important for students to be able to see themselves in their education, see mirrors in their education, so that they have like a role model to look up to, and for they can be interested, because we're in, like currently right now, I'm working with disengaged students in the Stanford School District, and they like gravitate to like education that they can relate to, like something that they can easily relate to and like make it personal to them, you know. And like I was, you know, one of my students were learning about the 13 colonies being formed, and then I also told him about you know, the Native Americans, and then he happened to be from Mexico, so that's when I started like teaching, like, you know, not teaching him, but like telling him about the Mayans And like, this is something like that he really, really liked and like looked into. So like the next day I saw him in class, he was talking about the Mayan calendar. He was talking about the sacrifices that the Mayans used to do. So I was just like, wow. So this kid took time out of his day while he was at home to learn about this stuff. Like, imagine if we're teaching this in school, like how excited the kids would be to learn about this stuff.
Absolutely. I think you have such an interesting perspective, Yadi, on all of that, because you're working directly with these students. So, you know, you kind of already touched on it, but, you know, how will this kind of affect students as, you know, both academically and personally, mental health wise? Why is it so important? And do you think it'll, you know, improve the mental health in general of students to have a curriculum like this in place?
Yes, I think like it would definitely improve their mental health. And, you know, and it would give them more interest in their own education and value their education way more, because they become invested in something. It's like these kids, they're all they're listening to, all they're learning about is like U.S. generals, like white generals that or presidents that did something great in the U.S. But they're not learning anything about their heritage. And they don't even know that there was a civil rights movement for Latinos in general. You know, when they think about the civil rights movement, they initially think of the African-American civil rights movement. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's good. The African-American, you know, civil rights movement inspired the Hispanic one. But, you know, it's good to like also give those voices light. And it helps the student, you know, relate to the education and, you know, and find it interesting. And, you know, and I work with a lot of disengaged students, and disengaged means like, you know, they're doing bad in school. And you know what, like the number one thing in my job that I've learned is like, I need to get their attention and bring it to school, because something else outside of school has their attention right now. And that's why they're doing bad in school. So I want to bring that attention and get them inspired in something that's so important.
And if I can add really quickly to that, I think also Latino students and Black students as a whole have a higher percentage of being punished or expelled or going into detention more than white students. And I think that really impacts mental health when like you're in class and you're learning, like you're subconsciously learning in school that you're bad somehow. Because let's say you try your hardest at this curriculum, you try your hardest at a homework, but you really can't get it. And instead of reaching out and being like, okay, let's help you understand this, is like, okay, then this is just an F, or like, why aren't you getting it? You know what I mean? And then on top of that, to have a curriculum where you see people like you who did great things, it almost helps you contradict that. I think that's a subconscious like effect that maybe not everybody realizes it, but is really helpful too.
So going back to that, everybody in this conversation right now is a Latino student who grew up in Connecticut. I believe we all went to public high schools as well. What age did you first have the opportunity to study Latinx history?
I didn't start until my second semester of freshman year, to be honest, in college, my freshman college semester. In school, I mean, we had Spanish class, but if we all went to public high school, we knew Spanish class wasn't really taken seriously at all. So it was very like, I really felt like it was a study hall, because you went there, you sat there, no one listened. Nothing was taught really. And it wasn't the teacher's fault. It was just like nobody listened. And at the end of the day, that was the language being taught. It wasn't the Latinx history being taught. So I didn't start till college.
I would say the same. I didn't start until my freshman year of college. But I do remember being in elementary school. And I remember like going ahead of the history book just because I was bored. And I remember seeing Cesar Chavez for the first time and being so amazed and being like, oh my God, like, are we going to get there? And I remember asking my teacher, like, are we ever going to learn about him? And they just said no. Like, it was so far back in the book that it wasn't even part of the curriculum. And I remember like going and searching about Cesar Chavez. So I remember that being my first like insight into it, but it wasn't until it took from elementary school until college to actually take a class to learn history.
For me, it wasn't until I was 18. I think it was the second semester of my UConn career. And it was with, I think it was an introduction like to Latino studies with Jason Irizarry. And like, that was my dude. Like the way he taught like history, like he wasn't afraid to like curse and like make jokes in class. And I feel like that, you know, that was like, and like make jokes about like the history that we're learning. It just made everything more relatable. And I didn't, you know, and in high school, you know, like learning about, you know, Hispanic history and, you know, Puerto Rican history was something that I really craved a lot. And I remember like for Hispanic Heritage Month, my school, like, okay, so not to compare, but, you know, to compare. So like I will always compare, you know, Black History Month and then to Hispanic Heritage Month at my school. And Black History Month, you know, every single day they had a new activist that they would talk about. And, you know, and then they would like start off the morning announcement by saying a quote. For Hispanic Heritage Month, I kid you not, what they did was on the last day they served nachos at the lunch. That's it. And they put out the condiments for us to put them on it. So like, I felt hurt like at a really young age, and that was something I craved because it was so blatantly obvious that I was missing. Nobody was talking about the problem because I would bring it up to my teachers and they would be like, oh, I don't know. I can't really do anything. And it's not my job to like change the curriculum. I'm here to just teach it. So like everybody was all talking about it. I mean, everybody knew, but nobody was talking about it. So that's what got me, you know, invested in all this.
Maria and Yadi, I feel like both brought up kind of like similar points, like two sides of the same coin, which is one, the only place you really learn about Latinx culture is in Spanish class, which a lot of people don't really take seriously. And then the other side, you know, if anything is being celebrated from Latinx culture, it's something so, how do you say, tokenized or stereotypical, you know, nachos, really. So that kind of brings also a point of not only we've been talking about trying to get Latinx curriculum incorporated into our high schools, but also there's a huge gap in terms of the ethnicities of our teachers and our administrators in public schools. Along with that, how else, besides just having the inclusion in history classes, how else should schools change to make it a safer place, a more just place for students of color and for Latinx students also specifically?
For me, I think schools can really do it by diverse, like, you know, having a diverse, you know, teaching staff, you know, especially having teachers that come from the same background as the students. Because what it comes down to, you know, I feel like minorities are always labeled as the bad kids because they cannot relate, the teacher cannot relate with the student. And they automatically assume that the student needs to be disciplined harder for certain things rather than somebody who comes from the same background as the student and knows the bullshit that be happening, you know, at home, or, you know, and that the kid brings with them, you know, to school, or like, you know, the systemic racism that the student, you know, undergoes, and, you know, and they can, you know, help the student understand that. Understand the systemic racism and, you know, not be frustrated, you know, and be able to talk, you know, the same colloquial terms, you know, same slang as the students, you know, because you got to meet the student at where they're at. And, you know, being able to talk that way, I feel like allows the student to, you know, be able to open up more and be themselves. So, yeah. So for me, it's to diversify, like, you know, the staff and the teaching staff.
I agree. I think it's definitely the staff, but I also think it's like reaching out to teachers that are not just in the history department. I think we have a lot of ESL students as well as ESL teachers that all have experiences, all have valid points of views that, if heard, could really add so much more to the classroom. And I think a lot of times you see ESL students like separated in their own corner when they have a lot to give. And I think like that, plus just the fact that there should be more counselors instead of police in the schools, is my personal opinion. I think there's a lot of, especially within like New London area and Bridgeport and different places like that, you'll find that bathrooms are even locked. And that's all they say, that's for security, but that's really controlling and monitoring students, and students learn that, okay, we're not trusted with simple things that we should be. and that feeds on itself. And I think, like, on top of that, I think there should be student committees. Honestly, I think, like, if you want to know what students want and you want to make policies and curriculum that are about them, then put them on the table. Have committees where they are giving their input as things go along.
My senior year of high school, which was 2016, my high school did, like, the students did, like, a mass school walkout that was, like, talked about in the news. And I'm pretty sure you can find the article that talks about it. It was a mass school walkout protesting, you know, teacher diversity and curriculum diversity. And that was my high school. And, like, I wrote about this, like, incident mad times and essays, yo. And I always talk about, like, how this school walkout was kind of, like, the spark I needed to, when I got to college, to, like, want to learn about my heritage and want to learn about this.
That's so powerful. And honestly, that's one of the things that makes me really happy about kind of, like, this upcoming generation of students, is how outspoken they are and how much student activism there is right now. Switch gears a little bit. So we talked a lot in our class. So it's not only the Latinx curriculum that's being incorporated, but also African-American history is going to be incorporated at the same time in the same class. We talked a lot all semester when we were developing this together about how we should incorporate the two, whether they should be one semester is Latinx, one semester is African-American. We came to the conclusion that they should be taught together alongside each other. So can you guys speak a little bit as to why it's important to have those two histories incorporated together? And also, what would you say to the people who say, oh, that's not important, or oh, there's not much overlap? Can you speak a little bit about to what that overlap is and why it's so important to have them both together?
I think Yeti mentioned it earlier, how, like, the Black civil rights movement inspired the Latino civil rights movement. That right there is just one example. I think, like, the importance of having, at least for this class, because I think there can be other classes, the same way there are, like, white history and a bunch of different versions of white history, there can be that for both. You know what I mean? Like, there can be different realms of Latinx history and different realms of Black history outside. But I think for this class, the reason why I think we decided to make it, or that we liked the idea of it being together, was because you could show those intersectionalities. I think a lot of times that's even highlighting Afro-Latinos within the community that don't always get represented. I think that also, I don't know, I think it's the fact that people don't think there is much there just shows that there's so much more to learn, because there is a lot of times where we actually unite and we come together for a common goal.
Although I do agree with the whole, like, they definitely interlap with each other. I do feel like what Lizzie was saying, like, we spent from K to 12 learning about white history. So it was kind of like, damn, like, we still have to combine both histories into one class. And mind you, like, high school, the classes, like, they don't have, like, we do, we can take so much information in one semester. They don't learn as much because they don't go as fast. So it's like so many things have to be cut out just to fit both histories into one class. So it would be great, like Lizzie said, if this was just one of the options to take. Like, oh, let's learn about how Latinx and Black history combine. But then, oh, let's also have this other option of just Latinx, this other option of just Black. Like, it would have been so much better because you learn so much more. And yet we have so many classes on learning the same thing over and over each year. I'm sure we have room to learn about new things and new types of people, it's just so unfair sometimes, like the way things are divided. And it always feels like it's always the minorities that have to sacrifice. Like, it's always like, oh, we don't have, like, for example, like Lizzie was saying, like, we don't have to learn about Cesar Chavez because we can learn about somebody else. Like, that's not as important right now, you know? So it's always, like, always being put in the back burner.
Like Lizzie said, like, I feel like the two histories, like, are really intertwined. And our movements, you know, complement each other. Kind of like how, like, I know this is picture. I think it was UEP Newton, when he got arrested, that's the leader of the Black Panthers. There's this picture of the Brown Berets, which is the Hispanic version of the Black Panthers, and then the Yellow Peril, which is the Asian American version of the Black Panthers. They were all, you know, sitting together protesting, and there's a picture of all three of them together And, you know, that's just one example of multiple examples where the histories are intertwined, like the Civil War and, you know, like the end of slavery in like the U.S. was inspired by, you know, Latin American revolutions. Our histories are really intertwined. Like salsa music was created by, you know, African Americans and, you know, Hispanic people in New York. So it's just our histories are really intertwined. And I think the book that we used to talk about in class all the time about these two histories being intertwined was this one, and African American and Latinx history of the United States. And I think this is a book that we constantly kept going back to. And it basically says, like, each chapter is a different point in history where African-American and Hispanic history is, like, intertwined, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like those are two really important things to hold space for, the fact that there is so much that's together. But going back to, like, what Maria said, it's so difficult to see one high school course have to have everything condensed because that's the only option. And I think that's so real that like there need to be more options. And I've heard other people say, okay, what about Asian American history? What about Native American history? And we still don't have those. And I feel like there's so much that still needs to be brought in. And this is just like one of the tiniest first little baby steps. I just wanted to go a little bit into, you know, what else needs to be done and what obstacles are we still facing in terms of trying to get this curriculum implemented?
Okay, so quickly to start out, I think one of the challenges is that there's only, you know, so much time in a year that the teachers could use to teach this. Also, the teachers that are probably teaching history are not qualified to teach, you know, African-American history and Latino history because they didn't go to school for that. And went to school to teach, you know, the regular American white history. So, you know, that's, you know, one of the challenges is that, you know, the teachers may not be prepared to teach this course. And also, like, a lot of teachers like to teach for the test. So, like, being able to, like, come up with, like, teach the history, the curriculum, but make it, like, easy enough for the students to remember. If you put too much dates and, you know, too much, you know, activists that the student needs to remember, they're going to be overwhelmed when they're studying for the test. So it's like picking a balance.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Like, I think we can't forget that standardized test scores equals funding for a lot of schools. So a lot of times what they're doing is they're trying to make sure that students are hitting the quota so that they can get their funding. And that way of learning or that way of teaching doesn't inspire like a desire for knowledge beyond what is expected of you or what the test is going to look like. And I think also not just that, but I think the fact that like Connecticut as a whole, it's not like if you were in California or in DC where there are organizations, big organizations, or just history dedicated to educational policy and educational reform. It's very difficult in the state to pass educational reform. And that can be for a multitude of reasons, but I really think that, like Eddie was saying, just the way people are teaching and the fact that the reality is a lot of teachers are not comfortable with teaching this because they don't know how to teach it. And so, yeah, I think it's definitely, the reality is, I think when you're working with certain people and certain spaces, whether it's professional or just informal, everyone has something to bring to the table. Just because you have a degree in something doesn't mean that you know everything. I think that's the main point of like our class. Like all of us were in college, but together we have taken so many classes that we have knowledge that a lot of people were missing for this curriculum. So it's not always about age or degree. It's also about experiences which students do have, which is why I'm always about giving them a table or like an insight committee or something along those lines. So that's kind of the difficulty, is having people actually listen, even if like, let's say you don't have a title backing you up.
I think that's why it's important. I believe we talked about it in our class about, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was anti-racism classes for the teachers, you know, just so that, like we said, like they take this seriously and they don't have any like ill will when teaching this class, you know, or like they're very aware of how to go about certain things and knowing that certain things, maybe they're more touchy, they're more sensitive, and they may not affect the teacher themselves, but a student may be very affected by certain, you know, things in history that you talk about. For like the best example I can think of is, I know I have a lot of Black friends who can't watch documentaries. Like they're like, it's just so painful knowing like the things that are like their people went through and still continue to go through. So it's just those anti-racism class would help so much for the teachers. So they one, take it very seriously that it's still history and it still needs to be taught in a very respectful way. And two, so they know how to go about it.
And also to add to that, I think political climate right now is even a very big factor to that. I think the violence and the fact that people are so emboldened to take actions to what their thoughts are right now, I think that can also be very challenging, especially when the reality is this is going to all high schools. It's not just going to New Haven, Bridgeport, New London, places where there are big populations of students of color. This is also going to rural areas where majority are white. And there's going to be setback there. And I think that's the challenge. How do you get students and teachers ready who don't see the need for it, don't realize the need for it? Because at the end of the day, if you're living in this country, you're making decisions that are going to affect people in this country, then the least thing you could do is try to learn about everyone.
To just add, I think this curriculum is going to start like a lot of discussions and classes that are going to be really touchy, like sensitive conversations. There's going to be students who are unlearning the racism that they are taught at home. The conversations in school is going to be really, really touchy. So yeah, to add on to what Lizzie was saying.
And to be honest, in the towns that are more like white populated, there might even be like parents who are upset that their kids have to sit through this class and learn about this because to them it's just not important and not necessary. So it's just a lot of like setbacks from people who don't know the importance of the class.
And I guess for me, I guess a worry is for those students that may be undocumented, for those students that may not be able to defend themselves in English, for those students that may be struggling, if you're around people who don't know how to handle this curriculum, if you're around people who having major backlash to this curriculum, and this may be the thing that like really motivates you to stay in school, that can be very difficult because like I said, it's unfortunately like state capitol, what happened at the state capitol is just like a representation of what I'm talking about. Like things are getting more aggressive. And I think that doesn't mean we shouldn't do this. Like this is exactly why we should do this, is because we want people to like face what they gotta face. Like this is the truth, and you can't really put, and you know, in Spanish, tapar el sol con un dedo, like you can't really like hide the truth anymore. But I think like it is something to think about from all angles, because it's not just what happens in the class, but it's the impact that it has outside of the classrooms and how people are going to treat each other outside of these classrooms too.
Absolutely. And I think that's part of the reason why I believe that a lot of people, especially people who work for these institutions, who work for the state government, might be hesitant to go forward with these types of classes. But like you just said, that's what makes it so important. And I think that also shows that there's so much more about our school system that needs to change. It's not just incorporating the class, because how are we protecting vulnerable students, you know, in case something, you know, someone has something to say or something they want to do? How do we protect those students? How are we taking care of each other? How are we preventing violence in schools? These are still problems that we don't have the answers to, and that, you know, a history curriculum or social studies curriculum isn't going to be the sole answer to. And I think that's why it's so important that the movements in this state, from groups like the Anti-Racist Teaching and Learning Collective, Hearing Youth Voices, things like that, are working on multiple levels, not just working on a curriculum level, but also working on, you know, many, many levels within our communities and our school systems to, you know, solve these issues. And I think they're tough, and I think they require a lot of bravery. And I think, you know, a lot of the student activists who are, you know, 16, 17 year old high schoolers, I think they're really brave for doing all this.
I also think like it's also amazing to see how young people, how we mobilize. Like, I'm just looking back, like, not just in history classes, but also back when, like, we did a national protesting for school shootings. Like, that was something that was organized on social media across the nation. Like, that's something where it's, like, really shows you, like, it's coming to a point where, like, and that's the whole thing that we even talked a lot about in the class, was that a lot of the things that happened in history, a lot of them are people our age and younger who pushed for them alongside other people. So I think, like, that's the thing about the curriculum that, at least the one that we worked on, is the fact that if someone was learning this, they'd be like, wow, like, this person was my age or around my age, and they were doing that. So why can't I do that? That might motivate them to be more active and participate more in their community, too.
A part of me, this is also just me theorizing, but a part of me, I know we were talking about earlier how a lot of the stuff we worked on in our class isn't being put into the actual curriculum, you know? And again, this is just me conspiracizing, but sometimes I feel like they don't want to teach like minority students how great they can be for a reason, because they're scared of them finally, because somebody could be great, but just that low level of confidence, like you don't act on your greatness. But the moment you're told like, hey, your ancestors did this, like there's people just like you who did this, all of a sudden you feel empowered and you're like Lizzie said, like, oh my gosh, I can do that. So a part of me feels like, you know, whatever, like white people don't want you to think that. They don't want you to think that you can, you know, mass movements across the nation. Like they don't want you to think that, because for them, it's like, I want to keep that to myself. So it's also like, maybe they're scared. I don't know.
I'm so happy you said that. I'm so happy you did, because I just think like it's at the end of, even now thinking, if you want to go politically, like Latinos, our vote is the biggest vote right now. It is like, and the population, our population's increasing through the years. Like it's the point where like we can't be denied in certain spaces. And the only way that you can really maneuver that is if you make it sound like, for example, with voting, right? If you're like, okay, you're wasting a vote, or like voting doesn't really work. But if you have people who really believe in this, and you have plenty of people who are voting, it can make a difference. And like, I think that's the whole point. Like at the end of the day, that's why knowledge is power. That's why it's all about that mindset. And not that you are capable, because you are, but do you believe that you are? Because that's going to make the difference.
I just want to say, like, it is pretty disheartening to not see all that work be put into the curriculum. But at the end of the day, like, it was still nice to work with such like-minded people. We had our differences, of course, but it's just like everyone was working for the same cause. It was so nice to hear other people like share your own opinions. Like, it was a nice class.
For sure. And I think it sparked like a lot. I think a lot of us are going to go forward from, you know, being in that space where we felt like, oh my gosh, we can make a difference. We can be part of creating this. We can be part of, you know, the new generation of educating young people. Like, I think a lot of us were inspired by that class. And even if, you know, our efforts won't be completely recognized today, I think it probably sparked a lot for the future. And I think a lot of people from that class are going to go forward and do some pretty, pretty good things for the world.
This episode of Talking Across Activisms here on WHUS Stores. Thank you to Yadi, Lizzie, and Maria for sharing their powerful voices in our discussion today. If you want to learn more about the fight for racial justice in schools, the new Black and Latinx curriculum mandate, or about UConn's Latinx Studies program, you can find resources in the description of this episode on whusstores.org. Thank you for listening today, and remember to follow the podcast on Instagram at Talking Across Activisms for updates and exclusive sneak peeks of upcoming episodes, and find the blog at talkingacrossactivisms.wordpress.com. I've been your host, Gabriella Ramos-King, for Talking Across Activisms on WHUS Stores.